Peaches Ramos lives across the street from the Fairhill Burial Ground. She watched this Quaker cemetery get taken over by drug dealers and is now working with the effort to clean it up. Ramos is an activist and block captain in the neighborhood with the city's highest murder rate. Her current efforts include pressuring the police for better protection and organizing a summer day trip for neighborhood children. I asked her to describe her block.
Okay, the block I live on the 3000 block of 9th Street. I've been there for 20 years, and the block has improved because I'm a block captain for 10 years, and we've been fixing it up. There's a program called Model Block, and it's came to our neighborhood, and they have like a grant that we had paid 20%, and we got doors, windows, sidewalks, so the neighborhood looks nice. We got trees, you know, and they don't look as trashy as it used to be. And my neighbors are like pulling together now because it looks a little bit better. And I don't have nobody standing on my corners. Like what I'm referring to is the drug dealers. They're around the corners, but they respect me because I'm not going to let them push me away. A lot of my neighbors, they wanted to leave, but they're staying. They're struggling with me.
Do you want to leave?
I guess not, because I'm used to the neighborhood. They respect me. It's hard because there's so much tragedy going on. But I have, you know, I learned to deal with it. And I just try to take one day at a time. And I'm, you know, I think about all the dangers around trying to raise my kids. But I try to raise them the best way I can. I just pray every night to God to help me go through day by day. And, you know, I figure, I don't know, people ask me, they give me $1 million, would I leave? I always say no. I'll probably take a vacation, but I guess I'm used to the neighborhood.
How did you become a community activist?
Well, I've been there for 20 years, and I got really strong. Like 3 years ago, they had killed a girl for her pair of earrings and another little boy for $5. And it was just like one killing after the other. That's when I got really strong, because these kids used to be in my house with my kids. And it touched my heart because I figured it can happen to them, it can happen to one of mine. And I learned to deal with these parents and these kids, and that's when I said, that's it. It's time to get rough out here, start a fight. And that's when I started getting more of the community together with me, the neighbors, and that's when we started fighting, because it was just doing too many killings for no reason.
What were you doing to fight back?
Well, we kept on writing to the police. We wrote to Richard Neal. We wrote to the president. We wrote to everybody we could think of, the politician and everybody. We got the mobile station parked on the corner for about 4 or 5 months, and we were just calling the police patrol.
There's a mobile police station?
Mm-hmm. And they helped us a lot. And, you know, that's when I got the community more involved, because they've seen the police there. So they said, well, you know, it's time to fight with you.
What does it mean to be a block captain on your block?
What does it mean? Oh, it means a lot to me, because a lot of people, my neighbor come to me with different problems, like any kind of problems. Like if they have rats running in their house, if they don't talk to one of the neighbors, I try to get them talking to each other. As a block captain, I have meetings. I have cookouts for the kids. I try to work with the kids, because some of them might not have their parents around. Maybe they might be locked up. They're on drugs. So it makes me feel good, because they come to me and ask me to help them, like for anything, help them to fix their house or anything. You know, and it makes me feel real good. I do a lot. I even feed them sometimes. My husband used to get mad at me, but I just look at them and I just don't want to go through what a lot of them are going through.
There have been a lot of drug dealers in your neighborhood. I'm wondering if you know a lot of them from when they were children.
Yes, I do know a lot of them, and it bothers me because it's a shame. And it's, they don't have no guidance. I figure they're in the corner because their mother and father is not a good role model. And I think of my own. I try to keep my kids in school, and I, you know, I'm not going to keep them away from talking to the neighborhood kids, because they all grew together. But I just try to guide minds the right way, and I just pray to God that my kids don't be in the corner and nothing happens to them. But it's hard, because I see these kids, and they grew up with mines, and you know, to see them standing in the corner hurts me. But I don't. I guess they don't see nothing different. What they see, that's what they're gonna do.
What's your goal with your block? What would you, how would you like to see it look?
My goal with my block would be to wake up one day and don't see nobody in the corner, which I don't see nobody standing on my corner, but they're in the surrounding corners. And I would like, you know, for one day to just get up and walk around. I won't see nobody standing, you know, from 5-4 blocks away from my house. That would be my goal.
Do you feel safe walking around your neighborhood?
In a way, yes. In a way, no. Because I know the people around my neighborhood. But, like, you don't know when somebody's going to argue. You don't know when somebody's going to come shoot. And so the bullets have no name. But I'm safe, you know, because I know everybody. But, you know, you're not really safe because you don't know when somebody's going to come around the corner, drug, buy something, and start arguing.
There have been a couple of shootings in your neighborhood that have made the local news. Mm-hmm. And one of them was the shooting of a 14-year-old boy. He was actually killed, and this is believed to have been an accident. He and a cousin and a friend, all of the age of about 14, were playing with a gun that apparently they probably didn't know was loaded.
Yes.
And one of them was probably accidentally killed. And in fact, you just came from the funeral, mm-hmm. just a couple of hours before we started recording this interview. I'm wondering what that funeral was like, knowing that both the victim and the shooter were in the same family. Both of these kids were cousins.
Well, it was hard. I just came from there. And what makes it so hard is that the boy's father, that was his only child. And he just lost his dad the day before he lost his only son. And the one that did it, yes, it was his cousin. And they was real close and they was playing with the gun. And that's what I try to teach these kids out there. Do not play with guns. I mean, I don't even let my son play with a toy gun. I don't like them in my house. And it's a shame, you know, now, you know, it was a shame. I mean, it was a beautiful ceremony. It was a lot of people that came. But it broke my heart and it touched my heart because I've been to so many funerals and I just keep on praying to God that I don't have to go to my kid's funeral because it's a lot of pain and we don't bury a lot of kids around our community.
Did you bring any of your children to the funeral or do you want to protect them from being exposed to that?
Well, I brung all of them except one because I have a 1-month-old, but I brung them all because, well, except my other, he's in school today. But I, you know, I usually bring them so they can see the tragedy, what goes on, and how hard it is to lose somebody in your family, and what happens when you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. I usually take my kids. I have 5 kids, and 3 of mine went today with me.
Your neighborhood has been nicknamed the Badlands. What do you think of that name?
We don't like it because back 2 or 3 years ago, I was talking about that. We're not the Badlands. We have decent kids out there, decent parents that are trying to make good, and we're not the Badlands. I don't know why they call us the Badlands. We're North Philly, just like Center City, and they gave us the Badlands because there was so much drugs around and so much shooting, and it's a shame that, you know, people like, that's the Badlands, but we're North Philly, and I used to fight with the reporters and tell them, don't put us as the Badlands, because this is not the Badlands. No matter what, it's North Philly. And people used to say, oh, you live down the street, that's this and this and that. I have no complaints. You know, it's hard, but you got to struggle the best way you can.
Let me get back to the Quaker burial ground that's down the street from where you live.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the process of getting cleaned up. It's in much better shape than it's been in many years. What would you like to see it become?
Well, maybe like downtown where they got Betsy Ross house, maybe we can get some people to come look at it, walk around. You know, we can see that there's important people there. And it's something to be, I guess, proud of because we got important people in our neighborhood and people don't even know who's really burying there. It looks nice. And, you know, that's what I would like to see. Maybe we can get tours to come out here and check the neighborhood out there. And maybe help with our community. We can get more help and more attention down here.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And good luck with your efforts to clean up the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Peaches Ramos is the block captain on the street just across from the Fairhill Quaker Burial Ground in North Philadelphia. Our interviews about the cemetery were produced by Dorothy Farabee and Roberta Sharrock.